Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. God bless you, Prophet Nimi. Are you there?
Good evening. Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Amen, amen. I apologize, listeners. I apologize. I'm just going to say I apologize. Technical difficulties and just in a bad space and place. But I thank God tonight for our second night of revival. Amen. Thanking God.
Amen.
That we are growing in grace. Amen. And we're excited tonight to have with us a phenomenal woman of God, a phenomenal leader, a voice, a kingdom voice to be reckoned with. Amen. She holds back nothing. She does what thus says the Lord. And so I don't want to belabor the moment on tonight. I want to give the prophet the time that she needs to articulate that what the Holy Spirit has given her, that we might grow in grace, even from the message that comes forth from her on tonight. So, prophet, I'm going to turn it over to you. Amen. You can go ahead and pray as you're led. Go forth and do what it is that God says to. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this evening. Let me first say I am thankful and I'm grateful for the apostles of the empowerment place who founded Nagrari to use this vessel of the living God to bring forth a word on growing in grace. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful people. I have yet to meet the husband, but know he has to be wonderful to have this great woman of God beside him. Amen. Apostle Valerie is a person who will speak into your life and empower you. She spoke to me what thus said the Lord years ago, and she has always empowered those chosen by God to move forward in their assignment for the kingdom. When you know the Spirit and iron sharpens iron, you are not afraid, concerned, or intimidated about whom God is using and how he's going to use them. And the Lord said to say this because we are going to miss a great movement of God by living according to man and not the Spirit. We are going to miss a great movement of God by living according to man and not the Spirit. So we just thank these Spirit-filled leaders in the movement of the kingdom tonight. Amen. So it's a great day. Because
Amen.
It's the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And while we have a theme of scripture and a theme for this of growing in grace, the Lord did have me to go to Psalms 34 and to introduce Psalms 34 as the opening of this. And Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, if that's not grace growing, I don't know what it is. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This is not an I or you or me thing. It's an us thing. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. So they saw God, and they saw the glory, and they were no longer ashamed of the face of the Lord. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivers him. Yes, the angel of the Lord encampeth. That you can still call on your angels of the Lord to this day, and they will encamp about you and protect you and deliver them. Now, this is my favorite scripture, the favorite line. Oh, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Amen. We have to taste the good, sweet savor of the Lord and see that he's good. There's nothing that he will withhold from us. Amen. So I'm going to go into prayer, and then we're going to talk a little bit about our grace and a little bit about mercy, and we're going to do some sharing here. Amen. So, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we ask that the Holy Spirit take control of this message and that the presence of the Lord touch every person in their families on this line tonight, Lord. I know it is not of me, but of you, Father, that the glory reigns and the heavens open to release not only a message on grace, but whatever the prophetic realm would have me to say to any and all in attendance. We desire to know the fullness of you, Lord, for it is you that we place our trust in. We shall draw nigh to you, and you will draw nigh to us. Let us delight ourselves in you and cast all our cares upon you, Lord, for you are our fortress, and we run to you and are safe. Bless the empowerment place and enlarge their territory through whatever means necessary, and give them the extended resources to build up your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Now, if you're excited about what God is doing,
amen.
What he has done, what he is going to do, what he is about to do, you just need to give him some praise right
Glory.
Where you are on the line right now.
Hallelujah.
Bless him
Glory.
For all the wonderful
Glory.
Things
Hallelujah.
He's doing for each of us, because God loves the praises of his people. Amen. Now, the scripture we're referring to tonight is 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory, both now and forever. Now, that now and forever means it's ongoing. It doesn't stop. So I think it's an amazing time. What I found out about this message, that most people don't talk about grace, but I found it to be an amazing time to speak about something that people rarely share, and that's about the grace of God. Folks use many ways to define grace, but it's mainly God's unmerited favor upon our lives. And some of you may say, well, what does that mean when you say it's unmerited? And the Holy Spirit said, let me explain that to you. That means I give it to you freely, even when you're not walking according to the word and the will of God. So the revelation given to me regarding this grace is that it's your covering. It's part of the blood. It comes with the blood. And it is for every believer to have and grow in. So you have to want to grow in it as well as receive it. So you have it because it's free. But once you get it, you should want some more of it, because that's how good he is. Now, let's clear up this thing about grace and mercy, because grace and mercy are used intertwined and intermingled, but they feed off each other. So grace is getting something you don't deserve, but mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So let me use it in simple terms to give you an example. So you have a project that you do at work, and you haven't finished that project at work. And if you finish the project at work, there's a bonus in this project for you, okay? But you're not going to be able to finish and get the bonus because you just don't have the time and you slacked off and you haven't done what you're supposed to do. But there's a colleague who sees a need for you and says, I can help you because I see that need that you need to finish this project. And the colleague comes along and he helps you to finish the project so you can get your bonus. Now, you worked hard, but do you deserve the bonus? No, not really, because it was your project to finish and not your colleagues. This is how God gives us the help we need to get there. That's how he gives us some grace. It's a process to seek the prize and win the victory, and that victory for us is eternal life. But he gives us this grace. So the colleague gave you some grace to push you on so that you could receive your bonus. That's grace, stepping in. Now, mercy, simple example, which everybody probably has gotten a speeding ticket. I don't know, maybe you haven't. But if you're speeding 70 in a 55-mile-per-hour zone, you hear a siren, you see the lights flashing behind you, you did something to make it happen. It was your action. It was the action. It was not the right action. So you deserve the ticket. You broke the law. There is a crime committed. But after a brief conversation with the officer, guess what happens? He lets you go on a warning. That's how mercy works. You are not getting what you deserve. It's just like sin. They say the wages of sin is death. But our God is merciful, and he will let you live despite your sin. He forgives you, and he has mercy upon you. So when you break God's law, he's still merciful. And that's a good God. It's a wonderful God. That's a great God. That's an awesome God. And let's talk about this grace. Grace will meet you right where you are. It will meet you in the mess you're in. It will meet you in the difficult circumstances you are in. It will meet you in those bad judgment decisions that you have made. It will meet you on that path of self-destruction. And when you really don't even know how you are still breathing, you say, Lord, how did I get through this situation? It should have killed me. But that was the grace of God stepping in ahead of the tragedy or the situation to help you live for another day. Praise be to God for his grace and his mercy. Why do I bring this up, the distinction between the two? Because all of us desperately need both of them in our lives, and they are both freely given by Christ through his death and through his resurrection. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16 that with confidence we should draw near to the throne of grace. Who is that throne of grace? That's our God, Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in the need, in time of need. Now, God's grace is seen in a far greater way through Jesus the Christ. We deserve to die for our sins, but his grace. God sent his Son into the world to die in our place so we may receive everlasting life. Now, his grace he freely offers to us as a gift of salvation through faith in Christ. For the Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved, amen, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. Have you received God's gift of salvation by inviting Christ into your life? God did not have you to do it. But that's how much. You didn't have to do anything. But that's how much God loves us. That's how much he loves us. If we can experience only a fraction of the love God has, only a fraction of the love he has, then we can love even more. We can grow in grace even more. We can grow in grace to others even more. Even though it's a gift to you, it does not mean you cannot extend that gift to others. Amen. So 2 Peter 3:8 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Growing in grace means growing in Christ. Now that has been freely given to you. So I'm asking you, do you really want to grow in it? Are you ready to grow in grace? How do you grow in grace? How did you act years ago, and have you improved on your decision-making, your thoughts, your way of living, or your actions? Growing in grace means to mature in the grace of God. It means to mature in the grace of God. You should grow to become more Christ-like. That is what God expects us to do. Grow means to move or to sprout up, but we need to do this spiritually in the Word of God. Now, growth is normal. We are expected to grow. Just as you were born as a baby, now you have grown into an adult, right? So that's a normal process. That's no different than growing in grace. It should be a normal process. Amen. For us, and we should want to please God if we want to please God and grow in grace. Because he knew you from your mother's womb, and he had plans for you, so he wants you to grow in those plans that he has prepared for you. So we are like a planted seed that needs to be nurtured, needs to be watered, needs to be given the right conditions to grow. Now, in Psalm 92:12-13, it said, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord, that will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, like a palm tree, those are who are righteous in God. They grow straight and they stand tall. Those are the palm trees are. Even in the storm of life, if it batters us, it's like a palm tree. We are flexible in nature and still steadfast in God's word. so that we do not even break or become uprooted. So in hard times and in good times, we flourish like the palm. And the talks of the cedar in Lebanon, and the cedar grows higher in stature than the palm. The palm may grow 90, but the cedar grows 130 feet tall. So God wants you to grow in your stature in him. Amen. So when you flourish in the courts of the God of God, that's what you're doing. You are in the overflow. You are in the overflow. Those around you are in the overflow. The heavens just open up and pour out the overflow. Hallelujah. That's an awesome thing. I want everybody to say this. For the Spirit, I want to be in the overflow for your glory, God. We need to say, I want to be in the overflow for your glory, God. So growing into oneself can be fun. God doesn't say you can't have fun, but it's going to be challenging. Amen? Because we all need to grow spiritually in the grace of God. So let's look at the scripture one more time. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And there's an importance in growing in grace. And there's a reason for it. And it's serious. You know, we can have fun with the Lord, and the Lord loves us. He loves us to enjoy the fruits of our labor. But either we are going to grow in grace or we're going to die. And I don't necessarily mean you're going to die physically, but you're going to die a spiritual death.
Glory
because
God.
It's a tough message, but you have to understand, you have to listen, because the Holy Spirit says when you grow in the fruits of the Spirit of the Lord. And if you grow in the fruits of the Spirit, then you're working towards being Christ-like. We can't simply stand still. There's no growth. There are enough people just standing still and not doing anything. But God wants us to move to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord so we can become more Christ-like. When things grow, they grow upward and stand tall in stature. Now, that was from the Spirit, but I found the scripture to go with that today when we talked about the cedars in Lebanon. The light of God shines. And you know that you are his and he is yours. You don't have to look down. You hold your head up high. You walk with confidence and boldness in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you grow,
thank you, Father.
Not only does the light shine, you know the power and authority you now have because you are growing in the Word. And one of my favorite scriptures is John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who was his Word? The Word is God because he spoke everything into existence. So not growing creates staleness, a lack of power, a lack of movement. And now you're just coasting. And you're coasting, and you're coasting with no real purpose or no sense of purpose. So we should want
Jesus.
A new and changed relationship with God when we're growing in grace. So if you're not getting closer to God or growing closer in grace, then you're either getting further apart from him and you're not of him. So I want you to hear that, because if you're not growing in grace and closer to God, then you are getting further apart from him. And what does that do? That puts you in the world. That puts you closer to things in the world. In many relationships, we have to cultivate, we have to cherish them, and we have to nourish them in order to reach our full potential. So you're going to have to go and reach and cultivate that relationship that you have with the Almighty God to be able to grow in the grace of him. We are destined for change. From the day we were born until we leave this earth, we are destined for change. But we also are destined for greatness. And we can accomplish that by growing in the grace of God. That means we are growing in grace, but we're growing in grace as followers of Jesus the Christ. Now, I wanted to share, and the host said, well, let's talk about what grace is not. Because some people are getting this grace thing mixed up because they think their works, you know, get them the grace. Grace is not about what I hear from someone else. It's not about receiving the preached word. I'm not saying you don't receive the preached word from the pastor or the leader. But growing in grace means you are studying, you are meditating, and you are praying about the word of God. Anyone can hear from a man, but would you use your heart to hear from God? You can sit under people who are good oracles, who are prolific in their speech, but are you living by the word of God? Or are they just memorizing a verse and not teaching about God's goodness, his salvation, repentance, which people don't talk about, but repentance, holiness, sacrifices, and the love of God? Do they demonstrate God's love? If you look at Matthew 7:24, it says, he who hears these words of mine and puts them in practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Without applying what we know, without applying what we know, we do not grow closer in grace. Growth is not that I've arrived. God can be a suddenly God in his manifestation, but your process of growing in grace does not happen suddenly. It happens over time. It is consistent. It's ever flowing from one day to the next. God is trying to change your mind and have you hear which he is at a price. Growth is a process, and we have to want it, and we have to seek it from the Heavenly Father. The Lord is very patient and wants all of us to come to him and to repent it. Do not expect it to happen at once. Now, you may have society that may rush you into things of man. We cannot always rush into the things of God because we need the revelation to take place with him and the Holy Spirit to teach us. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. We need to grow in grace. We must grow in compassion. Our Lord Savior Jesus Christ is a compassionate God. He's a compassionate person and the kindness to all of God's children. So when Jesus came, he came in the fullness of grace and truth. So it says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Now, don't we want to be free tonight? The truth produces freedom that allows us to grow in grace. And growth is not about joining every organization in the church. It's not about I went to church one Sunday and now this month I went two Sundays and now this month I went three. It's not about volunteering to be seen with being on every program. That's not growth. Growth is about humility. It's about positioning yourself for the work of the kingdom based on your calling and based on your talents. Taking on every office or task in the church does not prepare you to grow in grace. Recognizing others' talents, giving them the opportunity, better yet, empowering them. Amen. That is a sign of growing in grace. God uses all. And I'm going to share with you later just who he uses. Now, what grace is... It's grace, and when you're growing grace, your growth is recognizing a change in you, seeing the change in yourself, while others see the change in you as well. It's about maturity. It's about seeing how God is working it out on your behalf to be more Christ-like each and every day. That's what all of our prayers should convey for us, to be more Christ-like each and every day. Now, let's talk about how we can gain some spiritual growth of grace. In the name of Jesus. One, you have to be disciplined. Yes, you have to do the right thing, even when you don't feel like doing it. When someone makes you angry or lies upon you, you must still smile. You can't have hatred. You can't have malice in your heart because it's poison. It is not of God. That is discipline. It's being obedient to God's word, and discipline comes from God. Godly discipline, people, it's a path to freedom. It's like a bondage lifted. So we need to be disciplined. It's about, growing in grace is about sacrifices. Now, this is a hard pill for many people to swallow because we want it all, but we don't want to make the sacrifice to get there, and we want the rewards. I'm not saying it's easy. It's easy, but it's a must grow in the grace you have to sacrifice. You have to be willing to pay a price for something. You have to be willing to give us something. Jesus is willing, and he had paid the price for us all. Growth is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And when it costs you something, that time should be increased in spending time with the Lord. Now, mainly your time has to be staying connected and focused on God. It's about spiritual survival right now. But you gain so much more from the sacrifices. And I'm telling you, when you sacrifice, the blessings will fall from heaven when you make the sacrifice. And growth is about seeking wise counsel. Not only did you study the word, but you surround yourself around the people who want the same for you. The Bible says you need to, he didn't say to just seek any counsel, but it said to seek wise counsel. So in Proverbs 13:20, it says, he who walks with the wise will grow wise. Just as iron sharpens iron, one man or woman sharpens another. Amen. What happens if we seek the counsel of wicked? Do we then entertain our thoughts into what is wicked?
Jesus.
So God wants us to use our testimonies. He wants us to seek advice. He wants us to ask questions. He wants us to gain understanding, not only from the Spirit, but from the wise counsel of men. The disciples even sought wise counsel. They sought the counsel of Jesus the Christ. And we should seek the counsel of Spirit-filled leaders in our midst. And I'm going to say it again. Spirit-filled leaders in our midst. And one thing we need to do is stay committed to grace. You're probably going to ask me, well, how do I stay committed to grace when it's unmerited favor and it's free? Well, you stay committed to grace by staying committed to God. It's that simple. Grace is about depending on God and not ourselves. The grace of God is not a respecter of person. If grace is sufficient for you, then it is sufficient for the next person. Growing in grace means that we will have to see people through the eyes of God. So Matthew 19:14 says, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This is one way we grow into God's grace. How do we see his children? And I'm not talking about little kids here. We all are his children. How do we see every person? How do we see that beggar? How do we see that homeless person? How do we see that prostitute, the gambler, the adulterer, the thief? They are all still his children. That is when you are demonstrating the grace of God. That's what you do as believers of God. His grace covers us, each of us. And we all have been in a low point in our lives, but Jesus Christ never gave up on us. We grow in the grace of God by the way we treat his people.
Amen.
2 Corinthians says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Divine grace is extended to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, from the most faithful churchgoers to the murderers, the rapists, and those who are often viewed as the worst of the worst. And in Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So that's what I'm saying. Even though at times we may say God sees all sin equals, most of us are guilty of forgetting that, and we think our sins are not as bad as the other. And it's right there at that moment when we start comparing our sins to someone else. And if we're doing that, then we fully don't understand God's grace. God extends divine grace over and over. There's no limit to his grace. Because John 1:16 says, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. That means grace,
yes, Lord,
over and over again. God keeps his word. The gospel is good news. It's about the birth. It's about the life. It's about the death. It's about the resurrection. And it is about the second coming. So that's some good news. So let me just, the Spirit told me to tell you this. There is a lot of talk about acknowledging the universe. And I'm not going to say the name of someone who talks about it a lot, that you'll see online. But if you hear a lot of preaching that does not acknowledge God or Jesus, you may want to rethink where you're worshiping. Our God is jealous.
All right.
And acknowledging the universe is not acknowledging God. How can you acknowledge the universe when God created the universe? Do you hear me? So God created the universe. Now, how are you going to recognize the universe? He said that to drop that nugget in there, because some of us are listening to that, but God and Jesus are not in it. Now, not only is our God amazing and active in our world, but he delights in being active in our lives. He is happy when we walk in his way and not our own. And I have so much more to say, but I need to skip down, and I want to tell you about the genuine love of God, who will motivate you to communicate with him through the reading of his holy word and prayer. You should desire to worship with him, and you should desire to show him your love. And once you show him your love, that love should pour outwards to others. Now, I told you that God's grace is no respecter of person earlier. So let me explain what I mean by that. God loves the sinner. Amen. He loves them. He loves you, and he loves I, the sinners. God uses all men and women. So do not count yourself out or unworthy. Why? Because God saw Noah. Noah became a laughingstock because he was building an ark as directed by God to save his people from destruction. God is going to instruct you, as he did Noah, to do something people may not understand. Do it anyway. He is no respecter of person. Moses killed an Egyptian and he fled. Yet God restored him to be a friend. Amen. He used him to lead God's people out of slavery. He restored him, and he can restore you anytime that you are ready for him to do so. That's still God's grace working in you. Rahab, come on now. Rahab, she was a prostitute. She protected two spies on a mission from God from the enemy. She was spared, and eventually she appeared in genealogies of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying this to say, you never know who God is going to use to protect and sustain you. So you better pay attention.
Hallelujah.
To people and stop judging people and look at the fullness of God. Mm. And pray for discernment, which I was in my paragraph I didn't want to talk about because I want to capture this essence, because I want you to get this thing about putting yourself in these people. Jesus, no respecter of person. That includes you and I. So David was a youth who would become Israel's greatest monarch. He was a runt of the litter. He didn't have any experience in battle, yet God enabled him to defeat Goliath and become a great king. He will make your name great, and he will make you great. Mary, the young virgin, she had to endure some gossip because she was pregnant with the Savior. Now, what are you pregnant with? Come on now. Are you pregnant with the word?
Jesus.
Do you care about what they say? Or are you just going to give birth to release whatever God tells you to do? Are you going to just hold it in? Or you're not going to release it because I'm worried about what they say? Come on. Mary didn't worry. Mary knew she had the Savior coming on board. She knew that the Savior was the carrier of the glory. Amen? And then you had Elizabeth, Mary's cousin who was barren. Yes, she gave birth to the prophet who would announce the coming of Mary's child, Jesus. So what are you ready to announce? Are you ready to announce your great relationship with the Lord? Are you ready to announce that you're growing in grace through the Lord? Are you ready to announce that he is your all in all? He is your everything. He is your Savior, deliverer, healer. He will cover you. You ought to release a clarion sound of what the living God has done for you and proclaim the good news of whatever God tells you to say. Now, let me get personal with this thing about grace. Because I want y'all to get this thing about grace. Because it's for you if you want it. And you can abound in it if you want it. But let me tell you how God's grace works. It just didn't work for those folks in the Bible. It's working for us today. Because I'm going to tell you about a little girl named Nimmie Harris. Now, Nimmie Harris grew up in Dunnsville, Virginia, a little small part of Essex County. Now, a little girl that lived in a little white house by a little white church named Good Hope Baptist Church. And a little girl who had a sex partner named Ella. Now, the preacher lady, Reverend Ella Johnson, in the double anointing, the double blessing that was in their mother's womb named Emma, a little girl who prayed to the Lord night and day because she knew the love of the Lord, and she knew that it was taught by her mother, who raised six children in that small little white house by the little white church called Good Hope. Come on, I want you to feel what I'm saying here now. Go back over your life and take a look. A little girl who knew God had plans for her life and wanted those plans to bless her, her family, and others. A little girl who could share, she had to share my sister's clothes, lived in poverty, where her friends or so-called friends talked about her, yet God covered her mother and siblings and provided for them. Now, I want you to stay with me because I want you to stay with me. I want you to get this. A little girl who became a young lady, a little girl who became a young lady who cried out to the Lord, "Save me from my sins, dear Lord, and I will do your work." This little girl who turned into a lady who never lost sight of the plans God had for her, Nellie Harris Hickman now, who bears witness to the grace of God working from the past into the now and into the future. Let me tell you how this grace thing works. So I talked about the little girl, but let me tell you about the little girl who lived in Little White's house, who now has houses and are connecting the dots. Are you connecting the dots? Are you connecting the dots to the grace of God here? Yeah, yeah. A little girl who had no car growing up, who now has cars, who is able to bless others with cars. A little girl who has to wear the same clothes and share with her sister to have outfits and shoes enough to share and buy to give to others. Now I have that. You feel the same? Well, I'm born with this grace that God bestows upon us.
Yes.
A young lady
graduated
who couldn't find a job, who didn't have a job, but now has a career at one place over 32 years. That career allows me to bless my family and bless others. Do you hear me about God's grace? That's His grace. Who used to sit at the pauper table is now dining with the king. That's God's grace.
Yes.
The little girl
yes.
turned into a young adult, turned into a young lady who sought the Lord. That's growth, y'all. You hear what I'm saying? That's growth. Turned into a young lady who sought the Lord and grew in the grace of the Lord, who the Lord has handpicked now to be His messenger. One thing I know, man can't approve me because God has already done so. All man can do is accept it. But I'm not worried. I don't want you to be worried about it if He doesn't. Because, listen, the Holy Spirit says, "I have already ordained you. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And they fight against thee." Do you hear me? "They fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, says the Lord, to deliver thee." So you can't make me doubt Him, and I do not want to grow in grace without Him. That is why I love Him so. See, God wanted me to tell you just how good He is and how good this grace thing works. I will be a witness for the living God because His grace, His loving grace, His kind grace, His sheltering grace, His undenying grace, His precious grace, His astounding grace, His forgiving grace, His heartfelt grace.
Glory.
It is truly amazing, amazing, amazing grace that brought me through.
Glory.
I'm not ashamed of my history because I know this grace found me right where I was and turned my whole world around. Yes, He's working on me. He's working on you because that grace thing is good. It's a covering so that I can come forth, that you can come forth like pure gold. It's not because I lived so well. It's not because I did so good. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. I'm grateful for it.
Hallelujah.
Because He looked beyond my faults and He saw my need.
Hallelujah.
Now that's growing in grace. Grace woke me up. It started me on my way. Look at this grace thing. It keeps us from the grave. That's why our ancestors would sing with passion. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now, I want you to listen to this verse. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious, how precious, how precious did that grace appear. You know when that prayer appears? The hour I first believed. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Won't he open doors for
Hallelujah.
You? Won't you give him his all?
Hallelujah.
Won't you thank God for the grace?
Hallelujah.
Won't you thank him for the blessing? Won't you thank him for the privilege? By the grace of God, I am what I am. It means you walk in the fullness, and you don't care who knows you love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, yes, I do. So we thank you. We
Glory.
Thank you. We thank you. Do I have time to pray? We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you.
Yes,
we thank
ma'am.
You, God, for the life
and
for the love you give us.
Yes.
We thank you for keeping us doing the wayward actions that we were sinful and we were not dear to you, Lord. We thank you for the protection and provision that say you will supply all our needs every day. Thank you for using us, Lord, and bringing forth your glory through the anointing. We pray for this continued grace and humility to submit ourselves to you. We pray for a deeper revelation of your word, Father God. Strip us, Lord, of anything that is hindering us, Father God, from being fully utilized by you. Pray for ears to hear and voices to speak. Pray and impart a greater love and compassion and boldness in order to be effective witness for you, Lord. Pray for the activation of every gift which was given at birth, dear Lord, and bless us with the gifts we earnestly desire from you to be imparted by the Holy Spirit. Impart wisdom and knowledge, dear Lord, upon your children this evening on this line, Lord. Impact power through the Holy Spirit that the works will be done and manifested upon the earth. Touch our hands, dear Lord, to do a mighty work upon this earth. We pray the anointing fall to perform your ministry and use us for your glory, Lord. Impart comfort and peace in the release of the word. Impart a greater utterance in that everything you speak shall be inspired by the Holy Spirit. As we speak, let the unbelievers go forth believing in the undeniable power of God. Impart greater discernment and revelation, Lord, upon the hearers of your word. Impart blessings in their hands, Lord, and help them increase their sowing for your kingdom. Help them increase their sowing for your kingdom, Lord. Impart the wholeness of health. Impart increased faith to walk in the promises of God. It is in the majestic name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ that I ask of God. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Mm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We got about a couple minutes. Amen. But if there's some on the line that just wanted to give God praise for this word that has gone forth on tonight, you can press one and I can bring you live and we can just do a corporate praise. Hallelujah. For what God has spoken through the prophet on tonight. Again, we've got a couple minutes, amen, if you would just press one. If you want to just give God praise, amen, for this word on tonight, we'll bring you on the line, and we'll just celebrate together the word that has come from the prophet on tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him praise, hallelujah. Give him praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, give him praise, hallelujah. Glory
hallelujah.
God, hallelujah, give him praise, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Glory
thank
to God, hallelujah, bless you God, hallelujah, God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you,
thank
we thank you, we thank you, oh God, we thank you for your grace, oh God, we thank you for your
thank
grace
you
on tonight, oh God. We thank you for the word that came forth on tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. Hallelujah.
We give you praise.
We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We give you praise. Glory God. Glory God. Glory God. Glory to God. Thank you all so much. Amen. For joining us
Amen.
On our second night of revival, growing in grace. We thank God
yes.
for what he has released thus far. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And we look
Hallelujah.
Forward to what
God,
God is going to do. And for
yes.
Elder Rosalind Christian. Amen. I invite you all,
Amen.
I know many of you probably have Bible study on tomorrow, but the recording from the revival on tomorrow night will be on Facebook. Amen. It'll be posted on all of the speakers' pages. I just thank you. I just bless God for what he's doing. even in this hour. I bless him for what he's doing. I thank you all so much. Prophet Nimi, I thank you. Prophet Nimi, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for your obedience, God, right now, for everything that you've done for her, God. I speak increase even the more, oh God. I speak increase even more, oh God. I thank you, oh God. For she is a conduit, oh God, of your mercy. She is a conduit of your mercy. She is a conduit of your love, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God.
In the name of Jesus,
Lord. We thank you, Lord.
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. As we close, know that we love you here at the Empowerment Place. We pray for you and we give God all the glory, honor, and praise. God bless you all and good night.
Good night.